You knew the job was dangerous when you took it, Fred.
I have a question. Shh, be respectful of me.
You can act like a man!
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
I guess I should salute you as a worthy adversary and all that, but the truth is, I really did hate your guts.
This is the Signal Storm Podcast.
This note isn't getting a lot of play, at least from my perspective, judging by how significant it is. This is put out by Senator Chuck Grassley's office, and it was sent to the Honorable Christopher Wray, the Federal Bureau of Investigation Director. Dear Attorney General and Director Wray, oh, by the way, yeah, Garland was also CC'd on this. Since July 25th, 2022, I have requested information from the Justice Department and the FBI with respect to legally protected whistleblower disclosures that inform my office of political bias infecting the decision-making process in investigations related to the Biden family. Since that date, the Justice Department and FBI have failed to provide responsive records. This letter is based on years of investigation, including the provision of information, records, and allegations from multiple Justice Department whistleblowers that indicate there is and has been an effort among certain Justice Department and FBI officials to improperly delay and stop full and complete investigative activity into the Biden family, including, but not limited to, FD-1023s, referencing the Biden family. This alleged political infection breaks faith with the American people, and it will ruin our government institutions should it continue. As just one initial example, I've been made aware that at one point in time, the FBI maintained over 40 confidential human sources that provided criminal information relating to Joe Biden, James Biden, and Hunter Biden. An essential question that must be answered is this: did the FBI investigate the information or shut it down? Indeed, if those sources were improperly shut down, it wouldn't be out of the ordinary for the FBI, as this letter will address. By way of initial background, since August of 2019, Senator Johnson and I have investigated the Biden family's foreign financial dealings and business arrangements. On September 23rd, 2020, and November 18th, 2020, we issued reports detailing our findings, based in part on hundreds of Treasury Department suspicious activity reports, transcribed interviews, and thousands of pages of Obama-Biden administration government records. Our findings indicated potential criminal activity to include money laundering with respect to the members of the Biden family and their business associates, as well as strong financial connections to questionable foreign nationals and foreign governments-linked corporate entities. Then, in March and April of 2022, we gave three speeches on the Senate floor and made public bank records supporting the same findings and further connection to the Biden family business to businesses linked to the communist Chinese government. After that, on October 26, 2022, Senator Johnson and I provided records of pages of bank records to U.S. Attorney Weiss connecting the Biden family to Chinese government-linked entities. Since August 2019, the Justice Department and FBI have refused to answer our questions, cooperate with our investigation, and have made every effort to obstruct and frustrate legitimate and constitutional congressional oversight. Folks, check out this letter from Chuck Grassley. I don't think it's an accident the way the biased press has been covering other stories of note, i.e. in Israel, i.e. the speaker's race, and completely neglected to cover the man who sits in the Oval Office and investigations and the lack of cooperation of our government with those investigations. What do you see from the basket of bias press? You see, oh, President Trump in court today. The Israel thing, the Hamas thing. Oh, yeah, the speaker fight. Oh, yeah, that's all you see. But no expansion of investigation, no questions from the press. Excuse me. You were supposed to cooperate in the DOJ and the FBI with congressional oversight in the Senate, and you're not doing it. No questions about that. And Chuck Grassley is continuing to put out this type of information. Senator Johnson continuing to put out this kind of information of a massive cover-up. The Department of Injustice and the FBI facilitating a massive cover-up to protect the least among us, the least worthy, the least gifted among us, those in the Biden family. Folks, it would be nice if the entirety of the Republican Party were united. Sadly, as the aforementioned speaker fight indicates, the Republicans are far from united. And it's not a problem that just impacts the national Republicans. We're feeling it too in Texas. The conservative chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, Matt Rinaldi, comes your way next on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Does the state of the economy have your head spinning? Let American Medical Plans relieve one burden, health insurance. American Medical Plans specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays and no deductibles. You choose your doctors, you choose your hospitals. These plans have nothing to do with your income and are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. You deserve better. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
How can switching to Patriot Mobile help you? First, when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're not going to be funding a left-wing company. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative cell phone company. They donate to the causes you and I support. How else can it help you? Well, it will keep voices like mine independent. You switch over to Patriot Mobile, they have industry-leading reliability because they're not just one network, they have all three major networks. And every single time you switch to Patriot Mobile, using my promo code, STORM, you support me, and you keep my voice independent. So just in case somebody in the woke crowd tries to come around and cancel me, they can't, because you have the power. So go to PatriotMobile.com/STORM, PatriotMobile.com/STORM, and switch today. Can also dial 972-PATRIOT. Check out all their discounts. Stop funding your political opposition. Help keep me independent. Spend your hard-earned money on folks who have your values, not the woke crowd. 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT, PatriotMobile.com/STORM.
Do you ever wonder what it would be like to trust that where you get your news is accurate and pro-citizen? Well, Texas Scorecard has you covered. We give you real news for real Texans. Go to TexasScorecard.com today.
Folks, want to welcome the conservative chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, Matt Rinaldi. Sir, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
First off, you and I are speaking on a day when the Republican Party on the national level has, after what, 14 candidates, 3 weeks, and all manner of dysfunction airing their deep divisions inside that party, have finally decided on Congressman Mike Johnson to be the next speaker, who I'm confident in saying is a very smart guy and is also a conservative. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know much about Mike Johnson, but from all the people who are happy about him being speaker and all the people who are very angry, I think I like him now.
He is very much, you know what, to be quite frank, he reminds me a lot of you. Really smart guy, very conservative, very principled. And I really would like to know the circumstances after Jim Jordan was opposed in the way that he was, the circumstances behind his ascendancy. But we'll see if the Republican Party can earn back the trust on the national level that they have lost. The reason why I bring this up is because I think it's going to dovetail into our conversation about Texas. The national party, over the last 3 weeks, you've seen all manner of individuals coming out. Some Republicans who say, yeah, we're going to have to do a deal with Democrats. Some of those Republicans saying, you know, we don't like Jim Jordan because he gets in the way of the appropriations process, you know, because that's all the money. Yeah. And we kind of like the way the Democrats are doing things and all the money that we've got available. Others of them in the Republican caucus are saying, I hate Matt Gaetz, and anybody that Matt Gaetz supports, I'm not going to vote for. It was romper room, the romper room part of that caucus. So we have a similar situation in the Texas House with individuals who have more in common with the Democrat Party, and I think who call themselves Republicans. And I think that is the genesis of the problems that we are seeing here in the state of Texas. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, as I've said repeatedly, the Democrats control the Texas House, and they control the Texas House because we have a situation in Texas, and we have had a situation like was the worst case scenario that would have played out in the House in this chaos. It's everybody was talking about, well, what happens if a bunch of moderate Republicans get together with Democrats and pick a speaker that's supported by Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats? And everyone is like, that would be Armageddon in the House. Well, we have Armageddon here. It's been the case for over a decade. And that is the source of a lot of the infighting you see among Republicans and a lot of the problems that we've seen out of the Texas House, killing conservative legislation passed by the Senate.
And that is the brainchild, the baby, if you will, of a representative by the name of Charlie Guerin, who is, I believe, one of the last still elected members of that Gang of 11 that came up with this stabbing of the back of conservatives and the derailing of conservative priorities of the Republican Party about, was it 11 years ago? I think it was exactly when he and his Gang of 11 led to the election, the ouster of Craddock, and then the election of Speaker Joe Strauss, who ran the House of Representatives as a moderate squish Republican. And it's only gotten worse since Joe Strauss. Yes?
Yeah, I mean, with Joe Strauss, you had a guy who at least had morals and values and would keep his word, even though he was very politically liberal. I mean, now you have Dade Phelan, who's in open war against the Republican Party. You know, impeachment in general, you know, attacking the Republican Party of Texas, and it's evident that it has gotten worse under Phelan than Strauss. I can't believe I'm actually saying that, having served under Strauss, but that's exactly what happened.
Well, and let's drill down to that. You say he's attacking the Republican Party of Texas, and he is, because you're running it, and he is demanding you step down. He's doing this across the board to a lot of individuals, conservatives, who would be challenging his pro-Democrat left-wing Republicans and threatening the Democrats' control over the Texas House.
Yeah, I mean, well, it started where he just tried to ignore us, tried to ignore the Republican Party of Texas. And you saw that with, like, Justin Hollins' comments during the session, like, the party doesn't matter. And then I think during the Paxton impeachment and the subsequent polling of House members, including Dade Phelan, seeing how bad their polls were, they realized that a Republican Party that actually stands for Republican values and communicates those values and communicates the truth to individuals about what's actually happening in the Texas House, that's a very big threat to their power. So now you see them not ignoring us anymore, but directly attacking us and going to war with us.
The conservative chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, Matt Rinaldi, is our guest right now. And, you know, there are all these rules out there in the Republican Party bylaws to protect pro-Democrat Republicans like John Cornyn, like pro-Democrat Republicans like Kay Granger, like the aforementioned Dade Phelan. You know, Justin Holland comes out and says the Republican Party doesn't matter. These left-wing Republicans are attacking the Republican Party. Aren't they in violation of any rules? Can't they be kicked out of the party for their conduct?
Well, under the current rules of the party, they can be censured, which allows the Republican Party to oppose them in elections and spend a certain amount of money in their primary election against them. Of course, the Republican Party's, you know, the core of the Republican Party's power under the current rules that it has is as a bully pulpit, as the brand of the Republican Party. And by simply speaking the truth as to what's happening during the Paxton impeachment, during session, I mean, that's the biggest threat to them, right? They want to put on theater to pretend that they're acting in the best interests of conservatives. And when that's exposed as theater, by a trusted brand like the Republican Party, then that's a threat to their power, and they're acting accordingly.
See, and that's you brought up the brand, and I think that's a key point, because the clown show that the Republican Party had put on the national level in this speaker fight, it completely obliterated the Republican brand. And I think that same, because of the Charlie Garins, the John Cornyns, the Kay Grangers of the world, they're doing the same thing here locally to the Republican Party of Texas, the Dade Phelans. They're doing all of this because they are basically saying, you know, Republican doesn't equal conservative. Republican equals a lawmaker that gets up every day and tries to find the nearest Democrat butt cheek on which to plant their lips. And that seems to be ruining the reputation of the Republican Party. Is that a fair analysis on my part?
Yeah, I guess I would. I think it's fair. I would probably put it a different way in that.
Not the butt cheek thing, really?
Well, not with the butt cheeks. That wasn't my first thought. No, I was thinking on a national level, that's people are watching Fox News at night or Newsmax, and they're getting the national news. And what they're seeing is an RNC that doesn't do anything to affect their lives or do anything on policy, and basically just sends them fundraising emails every few days, mm-hmm. right? So they don't see an RNC that reflects their values or is protecting the Republican brand, and they see establishment politicians that are hurting the brand. So I think that in their mind has hurt the brand of the party. I think on a state level, you see a Republican Party in Texas that is acting in a very different way. We're taking policy positions. We have legislative priorities. We're trying to tell people, you're our grassroots, you're our members. We are going to amplify your voice using what we have and the organization we have. And you've seen politicians in the House, I mean, in the Senate, it's like we're completely sympathetic, right? Because Lieutenant Governor's trying to, he has the same goals as we do, right? So even when one thing may be a bit different or a priority may be a bit different, we're working together. The House is not like that. They're working for the Democrats that are a part of their governing coalition, which puts them at odds with the party. Yeah. So they want our party to be a lot more like the RNC. You see people saying that, and their surrogate saying it. Just win elections and shut up. And that's what they want us to do, and we're not doing that, so we're a target.
Right. And winning elections when those who are winning elections call themselves Republicans but are delivering for Democrat priorities, that's the problem. And that can't be allowed. Democrat priorities cannot be allowed to succeed in the name of the Republican Party. Else, what's the use? What's the point of having two political parties if there is no debate and a different way of approaching government? Folks, we're talking to Matt Rinaldi here on the Salcedo Storm podcast. He is the conservative chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. So let's drill down into this, because you know what's happening on a global level with the Israeli-Hamas conflict and how emotions are being galvanized now against those who would dehumanize Jews. And even Democrats, a lifelong Democrat, Alan Dershowitz, who is very concerned about the growing anti-Semitic strain in the Democrat Party. And, you know the usual suspects, Ayanna Pressley, Cori Bush, Jamal Bowman, who on this day was convicted of pulling down that fire alarm, by the way. He committed a crime. And then AOC, Rashida MF Tlaib, and the other Jew-hater caucus in the Democrat Party. The National Democrat Party has not condemned them by name. The Texas Democrat Party has not condemned them by name. Neither has the Speaker of the Texas House condemned Democrats by name for their anti-Semitism. In fact, he's gone a step further. He has said that even though their Democrats will not condemn their Jew-haters in their caucus, he still will promote Democrats to powerful committee chairmanships. That seems to me to be a step too far. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's outrageous that we are appointing Democrats who are actively still promoting anti-Semitic organizations like Black Lives Matter to power positions in the House. And then meanwhile, where you have a Republican Party where there are anti-Semitic elements among Republicans, but they're marginalized. They're rejected by the vast majority of the party. And the Democrat Party, where they're mainstream. You have people from the squad, like Representative Tlaib and others that are actively opposing Israel and supporting Hamas and the Palestinians. And you have a speaker in Texas that's appointing those people to positions of power. It's absolutely disgusting.
It is. And, you know, he has Speaker Dade Phelan has been very, very vocal about saying anti-Semitism has no place in the Republican Party, but he will not say the same of the Democrats.
Party where it actually does have a place?
Yes, exactly. He refuses to demand that anti-Semitism be driven by out of the Democrat Party, of which he is putting in charge of powerful committees inside of the Texas House.
So he does it. So instead, he goes after the Republican Party because that's the party that is a threat to his power, and he uses some 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon game in order to find ways to implicate everybody in the Republican Party, whereas he's appointing people to committee chairmanships who have direct involvement with such groups.
Yeah, the Kevin Bacon game that's a pretty good analogy. And that leads me to Speaker Phelan adopting, courtesy of his Obama parliamentarian, adopting the tactics and the values of the American left, in particular censorship. We covered this extensively and actually interviewed Representative Tony Tinderholt. He is now prohibited from making parliamentary inquiries without running by those inquiries by the Democrat Obama parliamentarian or the chair first. Now, this is a process by which Democrats often abuse inside the Texas House with Dade Phelan's complete blessings and with the Republican Party so-called leadership's blessings. However, Tony Tinderholt, a former opponent for Speaker of Dade Phelan, we've got to point that out, he is silenced and his voters, his 200,000 voters, disenfranchised. What is the party's position on Dade Phelan's, in essence, disenfranchising 200,000 Texas voters?
I mean, it's absurd. It's horrible. I mean, that's why the Republican Party of Texas's executive committee almost unanimously called for Dade Phelan's removal as speaker just in their most recent meeting. And I supported that as well. I voted for that as well. What Dade Phelan's downfall is going to be is his overreaching and heavy-handed efforts to silence people and to resist change. What happened at the beginning of session, as we came into session, right, Dade Phelan was, as a party, we were focused on the structural incentives that have caused speakers in the past to give Democrats too much power in the House, namely appointing Democrats to committee chair positions.
Right.
In Congress, you don't have that, right? So there's nothing to Democrats have nothing to gain by supporting a Republican for Speaker because the Republican can't hand out power to Democrats. Here, he can. So we wanted to remove that barrier. So we had a very strong campaign. We made it a legislative priority to eliminate Democrat chairs in the Texas House. It's the only legislature in the country that does this. It's the only house of the legislature in the country that does this. And Dade Phelan could have had a vote on it. You know what? He could have even had a vote on it and whipped votes. But he didn't do that. He instead silenced the representatives that wanted to bring this up as an amendment to the rules. And since then, he's been fighting back against these changes by silencing reps who disagreed with Democrats having power. And then at the end of session, took it even further and tried to impeach our attorney general and undo an election. So Dade Phelan is, I think, overreached in pushing back against what in the beginning was just structural changes we wanted. Now it's clear we need to change the speaker.
Right, and he's declared an all-out war to preserve his power that is gifted to him by Democrats. And the hypocrisy of this man knows no bounds. He uses the excuse with the biased press that swallows this stuff hook, line, and sinker, because I think they know the game. I really do. And a lot of them lean left anyway, so they just know the game. So they let him get away with it. But he says, the reason why we here in Texas, we're different. We're different than the legislature on the federal level. And that's why we share power here, no matter who is, no matter who's in charge or who's in the majority. And then the guy uses, as an impetus to silence Tony Tinderholt, he uses Speaker Nancy Pelosi's words from 2010, if memory serves, to justify silencing conservative Tony Tinderholt. The hypocrisy of this man knows no bounds.
Yeah, I mean, we the difference between the Texas House and Congress, what makes Congress dysfunctional is not the fact that Hakeem Jeffries and Nancy Pelosi don't have committee chairmanships. The way to make it better isn't to give Democrats more power. That's absolutely absurd, and I don't think any Republican would agree with that. I mean, they're trying to find anything different in the way Congress does in order to sound like, because it's different, that's why we're better. No, we're better because we have a more conservative electorate. And generally in the Republican primary, the voters force conservatives to at least give them something. And then meanwhile, House leadership in the Republican House leaders in Texas, like Dade Phelan, are fighting against that. And that's a problem. And we need to fix that problem.
Well, we've had quite an extensive conversation about the current issues plaguing. I know we're in the midst of a special session. The current issues plaguing the state of Texas, which seem to be centered around the cancerous element in the Republican Party in the Texas House because of all the power they give the Democrats. What's the way forward? I'm pretty confident that the Republican Party of Texas under your leadership will continue to be a conservative party, unlike the Texas House. I know the Senate's going to continue to do its job. The governor has been very, very clear about his priorities, in particular when it comes to parental school choice, which is at odds with the Democrat Party and with Dade Phelan and his left-wing lieutenants. Where do we go from here?
I mean, I think the only place to go from here is to change House leadership. I mean, listen, if there was a House leader that everybody could agree on that would not give Democrats as much power as they currently do in the House, I think that's the way forward. And that's the way out of this chaos that's currently happening. My position at the beginning of session was, in this political climate, you cannot have Democrats chairing committees and wielding power in a Republican legislature without chaos like this ensuing, because there's no common ground anymore between the parties. We're seeing exactly what I had warned about at the beginning of session play out right now. So I think Republicans do need to choose a new leader. They need to take away Democrat power in the House. We're saying take away committee chairmanships. We're not even saying take away the power to pass bills. If you were in Congress, Democrats wouldn't even be passing bills. Even the Senate lets Democrats pass some bills for their local areas. So just to take away the crux of the core of their power, which is these committee chairmanships, if a speaker does that, he will be a Republican hero in Texas, and he'll be speaker for life if he wants it. We'll see if somebody steps up and does it.
Right. And then, of course, it's not just Dade Phelan that needs to be worried about. It is his lieutenants, the aforementioned Charlie Guerin, who have more in common with socialists and communists than they do with conservatives and traditional Republicans. You mentioned polling at the beginning of our conversation. I guess we'll end it there with, what are you seeing as to these Republicans who voted for Paxton, who voted against parental school, voted for Paxton impeachment, I should say, who voted against parental school choice and education freedom? These Republicans who facilitated the killing of the lowest Kolkhorst bill, which would have prevented America's enemies from buying land in Texas. What are you seeing in the polling in these Republicans' districts?
Well, I mean, Dade Phelan's polling has gone way south. I mean, in January, he had about 60% approval, 10% disapproval in his district. By October, that was down to 35% approval, 49% disapproval.
Wow.
Which is a huge swing. Now, in districts like Charlie Garin's, Charlie's safe. A lot of his lieutenants are safe. You know who they're hurting? Those freshmen who came up and voted like they were told. They're not protecting those freshman members who trusted them, who relied on them, who they're telling, you don't know the way things work. Just trust in us. A lot of those people are going to lose. And a lot of people who trusted Dade Phelan and listened to him are going to lose this primary. Those are the people who are going to be hurt the most. And Charlie Garin will skate by and find new people to co-opt into support of Dade Phelan that'll lose their next primary too. So that's the sad thing about this is Dade is not only not looking out for the Republican Party or Republican voters, he's not even looking out for his own Republican members who are trusting him.
Well, and that's true because his number one priority is the Democrat Party. Matt Rinaldi, everybody. He's the conservative chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. Sir, always appreciate the visit.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Chris.
My fellow Texans, actually my fellow Americans, only you can get rid of pro-Democrat Republicans. Only you. That's my public service announcement for today. That's going to do it for this Salcedo Storm podcast. Do me a favor and yourself a favor. Visit a couple of websites. The first one, TexasScorecard.com. That's where you keep track of all the efforts from conservatives to bring much needed reform to the Texas House that will see the majority of voters in Texas be well represented in the Texas State House and not have conservative priorities completely torpedoed. Also, go to ChrisSalcedo.com. That's where you track us down on social media and check out the Chris Salcedo shows on AM 700 KSEV, The Voice of Texas. That's AM Talk Radio. It's simulcast on N2, on Rumble, and on Getter. Also, check out Newsmax One and the Chris Salcedo show there in the afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern until 5. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by government. It is measured by how much power is reserved for you and me, we the people. Stay safe out there, my friends.